SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
In this bulletin, Dorinda Cox wants the government to move faster on Indigenous truth-telling. Advocates are speaking out about black cladding, and researchers have identified evidence of First Nations rituals dating back 500 generations. Advocates are speaking out about a practice in the business world known as black cladding. The practice happens when a non-Indigenous business appoints First Nations owners or directors to a company which qualifies as Indigenous for the purpose of winning government contracts. That can leave Indigenous company directors with huge tax bills if company collapses and they are held liable. Coolin Briggs, a Yorta Yorta man and an electrician, told NITV's Living Black this happened to him after he was asked to become director of the Indigenous section of an electrical contracting company.
The debts totaled just a little bit under $730,000. So when I saw that, it felt like I was just in a deep dark hole.
The federal government is reviewing its First Nations procurement program and is expected to raise the minimum ownership standard for Indigenous businesses to at least 51%. Green Senator Dorinda Cox says she wants the government to move faster on Indigenous truth-telling as her party prepares to push legislation to establish a commission. The Albanese government has set aside funding to establish a Makarrata Commission, which would examine historic and ongoing injustices against First Nations people and make recommendations to Parliament. Minister for Indigenous Affairs Linda Burney says the government wants to take the time to get this right. But Ms Cox says a year after the Voice to Parliament campaign, it's now time to move on to what she called the next chapter.
Every Senate estimates we ask a question, what is happening with Makarrata? What is happening to progress on truth and treaty in this country? And we get the same answer. We are consulting. Now, in states and territories across the country, there are state-based formal processes starting, but we can learn from that. This requires federal leadership.
A United Nations official says around 250,000 people live in the areas in southern Gaza where Israel has ordered another mass evacuation. The Israeli army ordered the evacuation of Palestinians from much of Khan Yunis, a sign that troops are likely to launch a new ground assault into the Gaza Strip's second largest city, which suffered widespread devastation during an offensive earlier in the year. It was the third mass evacuation ordered in less than 3 months. Louise Waterridge is the UNRWA spokesperson in Gaza. She says the ordered evacuation is devastating.
UNRWA estimates that around 250,000 people have been impacted by these orders. Of course, as usual, we expect these numbers to grow. But, you know, for us, this is it's another devastating blow to the humanitarian response here. It's another devastating blow for the people and the families on the ground. It seems that they are forcibly being displaced again and again.
At least 16 people have died in the last 2 weeks in floods and landslides triggered by heavy rains in India's northeast. Over 300,000 people are displaced after their homes were submerged by floodwaters, and more than 80 people have died across 6 states since the end of May. The Indian Army and Air Force are assisting the rescue efforts in Assam, one of the worst hit by the recent flooding. Displaced resident Suraj Sharma says the flooding is making it difficult to access food.
The water was less yesterday, but it has been flooded here. Our house has been flooded and we are living in a shelter home nearby. We are facing difficulties in arranging for food. All the shops are closed.
Police are yet to charge a 14-year-old boy embroiled in a terrorism investigation after he allegedly stabbed a university student with a kitchen knife. Counter-terrorism police were called in after the incident at the University of Sydney yesterday, where the teen is accused of stabbing a 22-year-old man in the neck at the inner-city Camperdown campus at about 8:30 a.m. The victim was rushed to Royal Prince Alfred Hospital but was in a stable condition. Police ruled out religion as a motivating factor behind the attack, instead blaming the ability to access extreme violent content online as what allegedly radicalised the teen. New South Wales Police Assistant Commissioner Mark Walton said the teen's ideology would be classed as mixed and unclear, likely radicalised online.
There is a risk of online radicalisation. The internet is toxic and it's very easy for young people especially to self-radicalise, to move towards violence.
Mr. Walton says there is absolutely no link to the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. A police hunt is underway for a group of young males who fled the scene after a man was killed in a collision with a suspected stolen car. The two 15-year-old girls who were in the car are under police guard in hospital following the crash in Burwood in Melbourne's inner east at about 7 p.m. last night. A man who was the sole occupant of the other car died at the scene and is yet to be formally identified. Police say several males from the vehicle believed to be stolen fled on foot after the collision at the intersection of Warragul Road and Highbury Road. The area has been cordoned off and a police search is underway for those who fled the scene. The United States government is awarding pharmaceutical company Moderna over $260 million to advance the development of its bird flu vaccine. The announcement comes as concerns mount over recent outbreaks of the bird flu virus in both the United States and Australia. The company says the funds will be used to complete late-stage development and testing of a pre-pandemic mRNA-based vaccine against the H5N1 avian influenza. More than 130 herds of cattle across 12 states have been infected since the virus broke out in US dairy cattle in March. In Australia, 11 farms, 8 in Victoria, 2 in New South Wales, and 1 in the ACT have been forced to close due to the outbreak. The government's plan to boost private investment in renewable energy and critical minerals will be introduced to Parliament. Labor's signature Future Made in Australia policy will cost $22 billion over the next decade in an attempt to strengthen the country's manufacturing power. The Act will ensure Australia has control over its resources and will seek to boost investment in emerging industries in the renewable sector as the global economy shifts towards zero net emissions. Treasurer Jim Chalmers says it will boost jobs.
A future made in Australia is all about secure, well-paid jobs and more opportunities in more parts of the country, and it's about delivering a new generation of prosperity. And the Future Made in Australia Act is all about imposing the necessary rigour and robustness on the public funding, which will leverage the sorts of private investment that we need to see.
Researchers have identified evidence of First Nations rituals dating back 500 generations, uncovering insights into the heritage of one of the world's oldest living cultures. The findings have been made through a partnership between the Gunai Kurnai Land and Waters Aboriginal Corporation and Monash University. The archaeological excavations revealed evidence of the ritual practice of the Mula Mulang, or Indigenous healers, which dates back to 12,000 years ago. Elder Uncle Russell Mullett says the findings, which represent cultural knowledge passed down through 500 generations, are remarkable.
It's very, very exciting, extraordinary. It's a time capsule that's preserved things so well. Everything that's come out of the small excavations that have been placed has produced information that's just opened the door to a broader understanding of the cultural use of place.
The indoor arena at the Australian Institute of Sport has reopened following a $15 million investment in Canberra's biggest indoor venue. The national institution has been closed for 4 years due to safety concerns, forcing Canberra's WNBL team, the UC Capitals, to play finals in an amateur basketball stadium. The upgrade is the largest in the stadium's 43-year history, with new seating, air conditioning and windows added to the arena at the National Sporting Precinct. Sports Minister Annika Wells says it will boost women's sport in the capital.
Canberra really is a hub for women's sport with the ACT Meteors, the Canberra United, Canberra Chill hockey team, and soon we hope that the UC Cats will be back where they belong, back to chase premiership glory, back to play in front of the crowds that they deserve.
And now for a look at today's weather. Broome, sunny 31, Perth, sunny 19, Adelaide, sunny 14, Melbourne, mostly sunny 13, Hobart, partly cloudy 11, Albury-Wodonga, sunny 15, Canberra, partly cloudy 13, Wollongong, scattered showers 12, Sydney, also showers 17, Newcastle, scattered showers 17, Brisbane, a shower or two 20, Townsville, possible showers 26, Cairns, partly cloudy 27, Alice Springs, much the same 12, Darwin, sunny 32, and the Torres Strait Islands, partly cloudy 31. And that is NITV Radio News.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.